Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah! Yeah! Here's a box! Back out to Anna! History going to bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining!
Serving up a facial!
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. This week, we're going to be talking about the Bulls, the Cavs, the Pelicans, and the Raptors. We have our glorious hypotheticals, a little bit of yes or no's, and a new segment called Conspiracy Theory. Obviously, tons more random shit amongst all that. But first, let me introduce the team. How goes it, Rabbit?
Hey, buddy. Good. How are you? I'm excited about that conspiracy theory segment. That's cool.
It's right up your alley, actually.
You know what else I'm excited about? Your nachos later.
Thank you.
You've been threatening all week.
And, of course, our podcast wouldn't be complete without the Bagman Bag, the Statman Bag.
The Statman.
Hey,
is
Bag.
Is that all I am to you? Holo Stats.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's going awesome. I just went to Cirque du Soleil. It was epic.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a bit of the tidbit for you.
You recommend it.
More than anything.
All right.
It was incredible.
I don't know if you guys heard 3 days ago, Eric Bledsoe made a comment that the Kentucky team
could beat the Sixers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think the three of us could beat the Sixers.
It's probably true.
I don't know. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's not. And then, you know, the Suns played the Sixers today. And the very first possession, Bledsoe got the ball and did a layup.
Flagrant foul?
And I can never pronounce his first name. Noel.
Nerlens
came up and just
coat hanging him.
Boom! Oh, knocked him down and Bledsoe got up and a little tiffle.
You're
probably
good.
A double tech.
Yeah, cool.
What I find odd about that is Noel played for Kentucky. So why would you be that offended about it?
Well, he's insulting his team.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, not your past team, not his past team.
And it's did anyone cool. see Brandon Knight miss the layup?
Really? Oh, wow. Triple overtime could have been avoided right there.
The only thing would have been better if they were down one and he lost the game on that and then Kidd had to walk out of there and get heckled. That would have been great.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen.
To be fair, he was macking. He was at full speed, but...
Yeah, but no one contested it. I think he thought maybe who was on the court. Who was chasing him down? Oh, it was Euro, three ball.
Or Teletovic.
Yeah, he was after him. I think he just put him off a little bit, but yeah, you got to hit that, really. Like we were saying, though, before, he was huge in OT.
Hit a big triple.
Yeah, he came back and redeemed himself. He was pretty money.
Totally redeem yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, it was huge.
All right, well, let's get into our first segment, Around the World. You're listening to Full Court Podcast,
the smoothest sound from the east to the west coast.
Around the world, where we hit topics from all over the NBA. All right, I want to talk about the Clippers. What the fuck is going on with the Clippers? The most hot and cold team in the West.
Well, when we decided to talk about it, they were flat out sucking. Yep. Now they've won two in a row and they look actually pretty decent.
Smashed the Bulls the other night, dominated the Heat. Sorry, the Bulls smashed them.
They got monstered by power.
And that was with no Rose
power.
And no power.
So what do you think? Are they getting a little too Hollywood? Maybe not focusing on the win?
Something funky is going on.
Is Doc losing his grip a little bit?
I don't think it's with Doc. I mean, Blake's got to stop shooting so many jumpers, if you ask me. That's a thing. That's definitely going away from their offense from last year.
Or maybe it's the lack of Apple products and iPads.
Wow, yeah.
Maybe everyone's changed over. No one's got an iPhone anymore.
Yeah,
everyone's all fucked up, showing up late.
They looked awful against the Warriors the other week. Mm. They touched them. They didn't know what was going on.
It's all body language as well. Mm. Hey, you can see like everyone sort of looks like they hate each other. And you're right about Blake Griffin shooting too many jump shots. Good that he's added to the arsenal, but that shouldn't be option one and 1A.
It's almost like everyone was off him for not having a decent jumper. And now it's the other way. And I don't know what he's shooting, maybe 40%, 50% from like 18 feet or something like that. I mean, he's hitting a couple, but a lot of guys are giving him the jumper. And then they're just living and dying by that. And it's not really beneficial. It takes it out of their whole offense because a lot of the time when he's down on the block, he draws those double teams or he can just manhandle whoever's with him and he's drawing fouls, he's getting big into foul trouble, blah, blah, blah. It's not happening.
Heaps less offensive rebounds because he's way out.
Yeah. And he's not getting the crowd into it as much, you know, if he goes in there and gets an N1 in a bit of a really weird spin move that he likes to do.
Yeah.
But I think coming into the season, they felt like they were one of the teams to beat by far.
Yeah.
And they sort of walked in thinking they were going to win 50 games just by showing up. That's what I feel anyway. Mm. And the last few games are like, okay, we actually have to bring our A game. Plus, bringing Crawford off the bench is better than having Start, totally. In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, you don't want to live and die by Crawford. He's very streaky. You know, you want him on the off the bench to have the green light, but you don't want him sort of doing that shit, you know, with the starters, I don't think. It doesn't really work. It rattles you off. And by the way, Matt Barnes fucking can't shoot. What happened?
He's forgotten how to shoot. Probably 100%. when your aunt gets assassinated, that's probably going to like fuck with your confidence a little bit now. Yeah, but deep wounds are tiny. Yeah. You've
got to be professional.
Spencer Hawes took a while to get it going, but he's actually starting to fill that spot of stretching the floor, shooting threes. He was sucking the first half of the game so far. I don't know. We're only about 10 games in. But and Big Baby is doing nothing.
Give a fuck.
Yeah, they...
Good.
Well, why, come on.
What does he offer? I think JJ Redick as well. Mm-hmm. He's come on in the last couple of games. Mm-hmm. That makes the world a difference.
Sure. Yeah. But haven't the Clippers always started a little bit slow in the last 3 years, like winning games? We were in the early in the season.
Get out to pretty good starts, I thought, last season. But what is, like, all these things we've been saying are, like, pretty minor. Like, you know, if Matt Barnes starts shooting better, are they going to rattle off, like, you know, go 6-1? No. Like, is Jamal Crawford, you know, hitting 20 a game going to help him a little bit, but it's not the big problem? Is there something big going on there? Is it a psyche thing? Is it just...
That's why I'm trying to say, it's maybe a little weird. Too much Hollywood. Like,
you think too much pressure on them now? They're the A team in LA?
Or maybe do you think they're being sidetracked by doing all, like, their little side shows, you know, the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin show, all the ads, just the whole death trap that is LA.
It's weird.
Is it starting to leech off them?
Yeah, I think, I reckon it's just like there's no excitement around anymore. There was sort of this buzz around, oh my God, let's go and watch the Clippers. It's going to be insane.
Mm-hmm.
And all this. And there's just like maybe a bit of fatigue. Like, you watch DeAndre Jordan throw down a oop now and you used to lose your shit over it. And it's like, I saw that 25 times last year. So I don't know if they're not like, they look like there's like no electricity between them anymore. There used to be this like, they would just crush teams and like sap their confidence. And you're just not seeing that. There's no real excitement.
We haven't mentioned, is it Chris Paul? Is there something up with Chris Paul? Do we have to ask a question now? Like, how good really is Chris Paul at this stage?
Or a team's just getting better at defending them?
I think it's all, like, it's definitely a combination of both those things. The CP, I think, is in that I'm going to, like, hold something back for the playoffs mode.
Yeah, maybe.
And for them to sort of play at their peak, he can't do that.
Yeah,
that's true. He's got to be like a 26-12 assist kind of guy. Yep. And then they're their most lethal. But
he looks,
they don't have a backup plan for him either.
Yeah, they don't. That's right.
Okay, I don't think anyone's got any answers. It's still very early on.
Yeah.
But it's kind of enjoyable to watch.
Quick take. After 9 or 10 games, where do you think they're going to finish in the current layout of the West now that we've had a bit of time to digest it?
Fifth? Fifth.
Who's better?
Spurs. Golden State.
Fuck yeah.
Maybe Sacramento might.
Oh,
Come on.
Houston. Drink the Kool-Aid. Jesus.
Houston, possibly Portland.
Houston, Portland, Dallas.
And Dallas, yeah. And sure. What about the Grizz?
And the Grizz.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if all those teams can sustain it for a full season.
Yeah, it's all speculation.
I still think they'll have home court come playoff time.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have this conversation again in 20 games and it might be all settled down back to normal and they're, you know, sitting at third or
hopefully
so.
Hopefully they get their shit together before I go see them.
I had them at third, I think. Yeah.
Something like that.
All right, let's move on to the next around the world. Over to you, Rabbit. Talk to me about Chicago.
Well, I'm slowly, dangerously falling in love with Chicago. I am.
You're falling in love with them?
Just a little bit, yeah. Just the way they have been playing. Well, I like it when teams sort of find the missing link, and I think Chicago have kind of found that.
Like, you're trying to find your missing piece of paper?
Not at all. It's right here. Just can't read my schoolboy handwriting. Just the upgrade of Powell is massive.
Yeah.
It's almost like Yeah, well, he's injured last couple of games. They got bitch slapped today, just quietly. Yeah. 20 by Sacramento, I think.
Yeah.
But Blazer. No Gasol, no Rose. Oh, was it Blazers?
Mm.
You're right, sorry.
No Rose, no Powell. Mm.
No Heinrich.
Yeah. But, you know, as a squad, when everyone's there, I think Gasol has been the missing link because he's kind of doing what Boozer, they always envision Boozer to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pass out of the low post, create offense out of the low post.
Noah at all? In terms of his kind of passion,
I don't think it's affected him. It kind of loosens him up to just do what he does.
Yeah, plus they can default to that Gibson, Noah,
yep.
which they have the last few games.
Games
those,
that.
Yeah, those guys are strong always. So
it's awesome because they've had this culture of building to get to like the Eastern Conference Finals with Rose. Rose got injured. They've been without him for a long time, but they've kept that nucleus together. They've kept that defense together. Tibbs is a master at that. And now Gasol is slotted into that position, and it's not like they have to relearn an offense. They don't have to do anything. They can just go, oh, wow, we can rely on that position to be like played so much better than it was, a.k.a. Boozer.
Yeah.
So it's pretty crazy. They've almost learned to win without Derrick Rose as well.
Yeah. Well, and they kind of should, because mm-hmm. I don't really think he's a player you can rely on.
Well, not at this stage, yeah.
No. I don't think in any stage. I'm going to just say...
Calling it.
Yeah, I think he'll be injury-prone and have injuries, and I think mentally, forever. And also, hasn't Powell kind of been on the injury list for the last couple of years as well? He had the tendonitis or the weird knee thing or whatever.
Yeah, little
going
things.
On
and, yeah. Played a big amount of games last year. Not all of them, but like mm-hmm. a solid amount. But I think you're right. And I think a big difference from last year adding Gasol as well is that when shit was going really bad at the end of the year last year, they didn't have anyone that could go and create their own shot.
Yeah. Not at all.
So, you know, if Derrick Rose is there, obviously he can do that. Powell, you can dump the ball in there, make him manufacture something. And your mate, Jimmy Butler.
My mate. Fuck yeah, my mate.
Yeah, and who I sort of grossly undervalue.
Yeah.
Who looks a lot like Jamie Foxx.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he's been insane. 20 points, 6 rebounds,
but
3 assists.
He's kind of had to, because where else is the offense coming from?
Yeah, but he kind of had to last year and it didn't happen, you know? Yeah. This is a breakout year. It's great. He's on a contract year. He's lifting. He's almost like a Leonard in a sense, you know?
Yeah,
he plays the same game.
Well, he was touted as like a poor man's Leonard a year or so ago, and it didn't really pan out, but he's showing a little bit more offensive flair than even Leonard.
Let's not forget McBuckets.
McBuckets not
is
getting
great.
Enough time.
No, he's going to be a cult hero. Well, he's going to be like the new Scalabrini, I reckon. It's great.
I think he'll be better than that.
I was a non-believer in McBuckets at the start of the season. Then game one, he got a steal and pulled up for a three.
Oh, outrageous.
About a meter behind the three-point line. It's like your first game ever. And I was like, I'm in love with
balls.
This person.
Yeah.
I want to taste him.
Here's another little one from McBuckets. Did you guys see the awkward photo moment with before the Clippers game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was the best. Who was the rapper? I don't know. Something.
Kid Inc.
Yeah, so Kid Inc, Chris Paul and Griffin are doing some gangster pose and shit, and then McBuckets just comes wandering over and tries to get in the pick, and Blake's clearing him out. There's a photo of trying to clear him out, but it didn't work, and then a couple of seconds later,
he's like,
there he is, awkward on the side. It was fucking great. So cool.
You also got Dunleavy, who had 2 points against the Blazers today. But then, like you say, against the Clippers, he had 20-plus points. So
yeah, he's streaky.
He's streaky.
He'll be better than that.
Still no Kyle Korver, but like someone you can't maybe rely on. Gibson had 7 points today, but he, you know, he was coming off the bench 2 years ago. Now he's a starter.
No, he's,
well,
not.
He's not really.
No, he's coming off the bench still.
Oh, is
he? He's only filling in because Powell's not there.
Whatever.
Yeah. But he should be.
Yeah, he should start on any other team.
Yeah,
I reckon,
totally.
For sure. But he's comfortable in that role. He's been in the conversation for six man before. They're deep, man. They're very deep.
Aaron Brooks, love him.
He's
fantastic.
A huge upgrade.
And then for me, the X factor is the Euro.
Yeah, Mirotić.
Yeah,
he lost the game today.
Yeah.
He had 24 points today. Although he is a soft cock on defense.
He can't play NBA defense.
No.
But they can hide him. That's okay. It's not that bad.
He's
with the second unit, they can hide him a little bit.
And he's still learning probably the whole bullshit that is the rules of the NBA.
But again, against Sacramento the other night, he had 4 fouls in about 8 minutes. Mm. And he was hitting threes and doing all the things
that
he was meant
Boogie
to do.
Was monstering him?
Oh, everyone was monstering him.
Yeah.
Everyone was monstering him.
And then you got Snell. It's now his second year?
No, a bit longer.
It's an afterthought.
He's getting like an extra 2-3 minutes a game and not really doing anything extra.
He's a good defender, I reckon. You can put him on their second unit.
And
point
Muhammad,
guard.
He's 500 years old. He's still playing. How is that possible? Yeah, how is it possible? He's 41.
I think they're deep, though, their bench. Come on. Their bench is deeper than most in the league. Yeah, when he's coming to the playoffs, that's going to be pretty handy.
He's in full Jawan Howard mode now. Yeah. He's there to get some jewelry, and that's about it, and help out in training.
Why
and,
not, though?
And Bagman, who the hell is E. Moore?
Etwan Moore?
Yeah.
Doesn't he play for... I thought he played for Orlando.
No, he plays for the Bulls now, I think.
Oh, right.
Just insurance, I reckon.
I have no
idea. Journeyman.
Just insurance.
So how do you think they're going to finish?
At this stage, top of the ladder. You know, if we're looking at it on how they're playing now.
They're going to beat Toronto. They're going to beat Washington.
Well, we still said they're going to be in the Eastern Conference against Cleveland at the start of the season. Yep. They've got a better bench than Cleveland, that's
absolutely
for sure. So,
no, I think
their best game is better than Cleveland's best game at this stage. That could totally change. Teddy. But you know, they're playing almost Spursian offense at times. The ball movement's amazing. They got shooting now, and it's our like dark horse title contender.
Yeah,
or like
definitely.
I guess it's not a real shock, but honestly, if the playoffs started today and they were fully healthy, I'd expect them to probably win the title
or at least contest Spurs.
Today. I think that'd be the cool best final that I've seen.
Wouldn't that be a cool final though? Spurs, Chicago?
No.
What are you talking about?
I'd like Dallas, Chicago at the moment. I'm more pumped about Dallas right now.
Okay. Come on. That's cool. But just quietly, what's the coincidence? Sorry, not the coincidence. What's the similarities between Spurs and Chicago? It's Euroball, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking Euroball.
Well, there's a lot of movement. We'll get into Washington later, but I also think Washington, their ball movement's fantastic at the moment, way better than it used to be. All right, let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
Third around the world.
Sure.
Blazers.
Wow. My Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, my.
If no one didn't know. And yeah, it's only new. I'm on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
But whatever.
First of all, we had a little bit of an argument on our Facebook page about which Lopez is better.
Yes, we did.
And I remember Brook Lopez being a fantastic player when he was playing for the Nets, and there was Robin Lopez playing for the Suns, and you just saying how shit he was the whole time. And I remember watching him going, no, he's all right. And now he's a laser. You think he's better than Lopez? Not like, obviously the stats show that he is better now, but if you had Robin or Brooke playing as much, like actually he was healthy.
Well, I'm factoring that completely into it.
You are.
So, yeah, if you didn't know, I guess from the start of the year, I'm talking about like the totality of their careers up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten more out of Robin than you have out of Brook.
Yeah, that's fair.
And, okay, so he's a better defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
He likes rebounding more.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots free throws. You can put him in there at the end of the game and not be concerned about anything. And I just feel like you could put Robin Lopez on any team, and he would be an important player on that team.
Yep.
I don't think Brook has that same sort of capability.
Before he got injured, I think he was a go-to guy for Brooklyn, for sure. He was a 20 and 22 and 11 or something like that.
Or 22 and 6, bro. Like
doesn't rebound.
Just does not rebound.
Okay. Yeah.
Does not rebound.
So you think, despite his incredible offense, it doesn't matter because Brooks. Fuck. Robin's doing all the little things. He's rebounding.
He's more valuable.
Yeah, that's my argument.
Yep.
You know, getting 20 points a game is like a fantastic mm-hmm. skill.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you watch both of them play, I just feel like Robin plays more winning basketball. And it's sort of proven
plays better D as well.
Yeah, 100%. You know, when he was in New Orleans, it was like that.
Sure.
And even when he was in Phoenix, you're right. Like, it was early days. But he's improved so much since then as well. He's reliable. And he's working that little gross jumper, but it's like, it goes in.
And who do you think's more handsome?
Oh.
I think Brooke.
I think Brooke as well. Robin has nicer skin.
I don't know. I don't care.
It's like, which caveman do you find?
Can I ask you a question you should be concerned about Portland?
Mm-hmm.
Are they deep enough?
They weren't last year, but this year they are.
Are they?
Yeah, because of the white X factor.
Well, the K-man.
The K-man and Blake. Blake, you know, when he was playing for the Lakers and he was playing for Golden State, they expected him to make a lot of shots.
And he didn't.
Exactly. But I don't think that's really what they want him to do on this team. I think they want him purely to just not lose the ball and facilitate. And
Kane, I can do that.
Yeah, but they didn't really. I mean, like, they had Mo Williams, obviously.
Mm.
Yeah.
But
I think he's a downgrade from Mo Williams.
He is, but then Kamen's an upgrade from the young
Joel Freeland.
Yeah, fucking. And came in. You, I think he had about 10 or 12 points in today's game, but consistently, I think he's going to be a fantastic off the bench player.
I like your optimism. I'm not hating. I'm just asking the question.
They needed someone who could score off the bench in the low post.
Mm-hmm.
Kamen's providing that thus far. Absolutely. Veteran savvy, and he sort of works better against other second units because you're looking at a lot of younger guys, and he can sort of put his experience to work there.
Would you
Blake,
say,
I've always said, looks like, sometimes he looks like he's never played basketball before.
Yeah.
Dribbles it off his knees,
yeah.
Like can't get an inbounds pass.
Sure.
He was a huge reason why they lost one of the opening games to Golden State. Shut the bed there. But at the end of the game when they came storming home against the Pelicans a few weeks ago, he was finishing the game when Batum was injured.
Yep.
And he did exactly what you were saying, VG. Distributed the ball, didn't turn it over, knocked down an open three here
like
or there. And
Lakers, it was like, got to hit that three. And it's like, he's never going to hit that three. And Golden State was like, oh, you know, here he is. You're not Steve Nash. It's not going to happen. Mm. Also, you know, they lost a little bit of that instant energy when Mo left, but maybe Will Barton gives them a little bit of that kind of energy and excitement.
It's funny, the Terry Stotts sort of goes away from Will Barton and Thomas Robinson a lot. Mm. They'll play a game and they get this insane energy, like just flying Tasmanian Devils off the bench, and it looks great.
Mm.
Then the next game, neither guy gets on the court.
Yeah.
Mm.
And, you know, when LaMarcus missed a couple of games, no Thomas Robinson, they're showing no faith there. So it's weird. Like, it looks good at times, but they're not getting the burn that you would sort of hope.
And you watched every game, so what's the deal with Alan Crabb?
One of the best surnames in the NBA,
Alan Crabb.
Who knows? He's a bit of a passenger at the moment. Yeah, okay. He's just filling out the numbers.
And they're probably going on the whitest bench in the NBA at the moment, I think, with the addition of Kamen and they have the...
And Blake.
Yeah, and then they got the other power forward white guy.
They got Freeland and got Myers Leonard.
English guy. Yeah, they're white. We're going to come up with the Blazers bench is so white. Do you think Wesley Matthews is flying under the radar and possibly the most underrated two guard in the league?
I was going to say that I think Robin Lopez and Wes Matthews are probably the two most underrated players in the whole league for their position. What do you want more than what you're getting from Wes Matthews from a two guard?
Nothing.
Like what's
maybe
his weaknesses?
A little more height.
His D's good. His scoring's good. He shoots well from three.
Yep.
He doesn't do everything exceptionally, but he's very consistent, and he can defer to Lillard to do that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know? So,
and
he tries
like a motherfucker every minute of the game.
Yeah.
And he'll guard the opposition's
best
player.
He's kind of like Lance was last year a little bit. Stevenson, maybe.
But not so many stupid decisions.
But more skilled. And shoots better. Sure.
Not insane.
Yeah. Random question. Are they still paying Brandon Roy?
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised. On the books for 19 mil this season.
What?
I just saw it today and I was checking some stats and I was like, he's still on the roster at 19 mil. I don't know if it's wrong or not, but
fuck.
Maybe.
Can you imagine
quite
if
likely,
Brandon Roy was like 6'8" the player, 3/4, I guess that is, the player that he was when he was at his peak and they still had him now.
But they probably wouldn't have him
that would be.
If he was still playing because they'd have that spot. They wouldn't need Wes Matthews, would they?
No, or like...
Yeah.
Yeah, even...
But Wes Matthews off the bench, backing up him. Fucking A.
All day.
Yeah.
But so how do you think they're going to finish in the West?
They're doing better than what I thought they would. They've had a bit of a cupcake schedule this first part of the season. A lot of games at home.
I felt almost like they overachieved a little bit last year.
Oh.
Because they didn't really have a bench.
They started 19-3.
Yeah, and they started and their starters played like 45 minutes a game or something retarded.
Well, that's the other thing. Are they, you know, were sort of the surprise packet last year? Is that working against them now because people are wary of them?
Well, they finished the season playing borderline sub 500 ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously second round of the playoffs flamed out.
Doesn't matter, like you said. They're winning that conference playing 500 ball though, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, what are they now? Like 10-3 or
about that? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
But they can win the conference playing 500 ball.
Yeah, if they go the rest of the way.
Because no one else is coming close. OKC are fucked.
Kamen, sixth man of the year.
No way. Yeah,
that's so dangerous.
All right, let's move on to a fun
Your
segment.
Mate Isaiah Thomas might have something to say.
Yeah, he's playing well. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Can I throw a hypothetical at you?
Hit me.
It's a pretty good one. It's from my brother.
Oh, your brother has got a hypothetical.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a couple, actually, but I'll throw you in one. I think you'll like it.
Anyone who wants to suggest a hypothetical, feel free to make a suggestion on our Facebook page.
Long for the day when we have our first female hypothetical.
So this is going off, hopefully, you guys have seen...
Like as in most, a woman contributes a hypothetical.
Most NBA movies, you know, like or ball movies.
Mm.
Would you rather have Kyle Watson's game in Above the Rim...
I love where this is going.
...or Jesus Shuttlesworth in He Got Game? And who would beat who one-on-one?
Shuttlesworth got the mad titties, remember? He got recruited and he had like a weird orgy.
They're all getting titties if they play, remember? Don't
well,
wouldn't
worry. You go with Ray Allen... Because
he's not Ray Allen. He's Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Yeah, no, but like,
it's in the movie. It's
Ray
a character. No, don't
I love
think Ray Allen.
Game. I'm going movie. With good movie. Shuttles.
Yeah, me too. Watson's a glory boy. He had to get reined in.
Couldn't snap his
great,
wrists.
Great in the street.
Remember? Yeah, couldn't snap his wrists.
Yeah.
And all his teammates hated him. Yeah. Yeah. He's a dick.
Good in the street. It's not going to work in the big
but
leagues.
But you never barely saw any of Jesus playing. It was all myth and aura, remember?
Yeah,
remember the intro?
Yeah,
they had all those celebs going... Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
So, and also, you got to think about the company you keep. Shuttlesworth is hanging out with Denzel, while Watson was growing up with the cunt from Cool Running.
Yeah, that's right.
Who gives a shit? Oh, yeah, Park. Fair enough.
That's right.
Yeah. Checkmate.
He did have Park. Yeah, but Park didn't teach him anything about ball.
No, they were mortal enemies.
Yeah, I know, right?
He was worried about getting fucking shanked by
and
Park.
Birdie
the whole
got
movie.
Touched up. Yeah, that's right. So, you're going with Jesus.
Well, what are you going with?
Yeah, I'm probably going with Jesus, but but I'd rather have his game. But who would win out of Jesus and Kyle? Because Kyle was a bit of a...
You're talking about one-on-one?
Yeah,
Kyle probably had more complete...
He'd play a lot of ghetto ball, remember?
Yeah, one-on-one's a different,
one-on-one
different thing. Then you'd have
Watson.
To go... Yeah.
Where does Billy Hoyle fit into the equation?
Billy Hoyle?
I can't remember the last time
know.
I watched He Got Game.
Where does Sydney fit in there?
Sydney Dean.
Yeah. I'd rather Sydney than Billy Hoyle, but Hoyle could pass.
Yeah, Hoyle all day.
Mm. Let's move on to the next segment.
Hottie girlfriend as well.
Thanks, Davo. That was a good one.
Thank you.
Great one, yeah.
That was good.
Mad ops.
Well in.
All right, douche of the week.
Right. Yeah.
Rabbit, you want to start?
No.
All right, I'll start. Mine is a tie. We had a couple coach douche moments. I don't know if you guys saw Brett Brown kicking the ball, getting a tech and costing his team the win. Did anyone see that?
Oh, how dare he cost his team a crucial win
well,
that would have made them one in 100 billion.
Could be part of the new conspiracy theory segment. Did he do it on purpose to help them lose, to help them tank?
You reckon he just gets like a 10 grand bonus every time he purposely fucks up the game for them?
I don't know. What about Derek Fischel calling timeout just as J.R. Smith hit a three-pointer?
I didn't see that.
No, I didn't see it either.
Sounds like Derek Fischel
so
move,
good.
Though.
Real Derek move.
So what? It must have been a couple of seconds into the...
No, basically like... The Knicks had the ball.
Yeah.
And they were all kind of running a play. And then they kind of all just stopped.
Oh.
And Jaren went, yep, I'm going to jack it. In the air, shot. And
because he was
called timeout.
And really?
The ref saw it and goes, swoosh. All right, no basket.
Oh, that's just
timeout.
Standard for the Knicks, isn't it? That's great.
I still think Brett Brown wins it, though. I think he's an awesome coach. But
he booted a ball into
they
the
They lost
stands.
The game for that because of the tech.
Well, I'll do my douche
all right,
now.
What do you got?
You guys heard about... Dwight Howard has had a good week. He's brought in a little bit of corporal punishment towards his seven-year-old son, Braylon, which has got to be one of the shittest names, even for African-Americans.
Right.
But yeah, Dwight Howard, and I don't want to get misconstrued as someone who doesn't approve of child beating, because I don't know about you guys, but I got struck as a child. And I think I turned out reasonably well adjusted.
My dad's such a feminine man. He would never. But my mom would chase me around sometimes with a broom.
You guys didn't get the strap?
I think
or
I got threatened with a wooden spoon a couple of times. Wooden,
threatened?
But I don't. Well, that's my mom, but she never did it. I think I vaguely remember my dad washing my brother's mouth out with soap once.
I can beat you on this. Sebastian's dad used to make him get the belt before he
oh,
beat
yeah.
him.
Oh, wow.
And one time, he got him nothing for Christmas and made him cry and then busted out of a bike later.
Oh, I remember my parents used to strike me with it because I played drums at a drumstick. And that like
on
those things fucking hurt. No, like just straight on the backside.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Like if I got a drumstick now and like struck you with it, you'd know
you
about it.
You'd be pumped about it.
Yeah, and you're not built like an eight-year-old boy.
But, I don't know.
But then didn't he also take his son to Hooters for...
No, his wife took his son to Hooters for his birthday party, but Dwight Howard, yeah, struck the child and with the buckle end of a belt and sort of caused some permanent damage.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if he caused permanent damage.
I don't
damage.
Think anyone...
Not permanent damage, but like...
There's a lot, of,
damage,
there's a lot
like,
of skepticism about whether some bruises apparently were from that or not from that. The wife's a bit of a head case because they're breaking up or they're over, and it's a lot of he said, she said. I think there's too much, like... unnecessary drama around it. It just sucks. He's such a public figure. He's going to cop all this shit.
But if you're 6'10 and gigantic. What do you need a belt for? Wouldn't one of your...
I just think you're going down the road of like, is it cool to hit your kids, period, you know? And it's like unnecessary...
What if it's like, well, my dad did that to me and I came out to be a professional athlete.
So. But I think also the same by the same effect, if you're going to hit a seven-year-old with a belt, which like, surprisingly, I'm like kind of okay with, like do what you want with your kids.
Yeah, sure.
But if you do it, don't hit him with a metal part.
Like, well, did he though? How do you know? Like, that's the thing. That's why I think it's a bit of a...
Why would he have like a lasting bruise from a belt strap?
What I read is they can't confirm whether those bruises were from that or the mum, you know, he was at the jungle gym like the next day or some shit. You know, it's a lot of speculation. That's why I think it's not worth the hype. I just think it's a bit of a no story, you know? Like,
yeah, but what if he did do it? Then it is worth the hype.
Is it? Like, really, you know, like, you decide to hit your kid, that's the way you bring up your kids, cool. I personally wouldn't hit
Have you heard of anyone striking a kid with a metal part of a belt, no matter who it was?
Right. Well, if that is true, then that's probably a bit gnarly, and yeah, it's probably worth saying, hey man, whatever, but it's not
what
my
What about how many people are coming
fight,
out
you know?
Lately saying he's a pussy?
Yeah, that's retarded.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
All right, what do you got for us, Rabbit?
Oh, well, this is pretty nuts, actually.
Can you beat the belt?
I think so. No offense, bag, you know.
No, I love it.
Mine involves a grenade launcher, so...
Yeah, that's nuts.
Former Seattle Sonic, Robert Swift, he was a... If you can't remember him, that's cool, because no one fucking remembers him. 2004 draft. He went ahead of players like Jimmy Nelson, Ariza, and Josh Smith, though, just to say.
And he's a filthy Bunsen.
Yeah, and he's a filthy heroin addict now. So, cops found... this place where he was living, but the place had become like, you know, he stopped paying his rent and he was sort of squatting, half squatting. He was living with his dealer apparently. And there was drugs everywhere, there's heroin everywhere. He was in a lot of trouble and they got there and they found a fucking grenade launcher there. What the fuck is he doing with
a
grenade
launcher?
Was it
his or the drug dealer's?
Well, it's in the house, you know, and he's living in that house. Fall from grace, you know? Brutal.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's really weird, and
you can't trust gingers, man.
He's got way worse than Chapman stealing Apple products.
Yeah, right. Well, he might be dealing heroin as well. He might be helping. Who knows?
But somebody's smoking bongs out of a grenade launcher.
Who knows? He made $10 million in his NBA career. Pissed it all away on chasing the dragon. It's heavy.
Yeah,
but so now he's my douche of the week.
But now he owns a grenade launcher.
Well, no, Fuzz have the grenade launcher. He doesn't have it. He's got nothing. He's got a hovel of a house and a gnarly heroin addiction.
All right, let's move on to another segment called Yes and No's. You guys ready for it? I'm going to hit you with a simple question. I just want to hear yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
Question one. Will D. Rose eventually re-injure an existing injury, causing him to miss the playoffs this year?
This year?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, that's a good question. Miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll do it to the fans or to the team. I think he'll play
even
if he's hurt.
There's no one that loves missing playoffs more than D. Rose.
Yeah. And he just said recently that he's looking, you know, ahead of his, like, when his career finishes.
I think that's just, I'm so mentally frustrated with another injury. If somebody asks me one more question about it, I'm going to throw up, and that's about it.
Well, he's just saying, don't question me for resting. You know, I don't want to have like a limp when I'm, you know, 40 or
whatever. He's got meetings. Yeah. He's got meetings to go to later. And it doesn't want to be sore for him.
Yeah, Barkley's like, battle scars are cool.
I'm going to say no. I have confidence. Right. I want to see him in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the way that he's playing, like measuring himself thus far means that he should be good to go.
And the Bulls seem okay with him making the calls, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
It's not
management. Will D. Rose play less games than D. Wade?
Oh, good question. Ooh,
that is rich.
Yeah.
Wade Watch. How many games has he played? Two?
I don't know.
Three? He's played most of them, I'm pretty sure.
He's just missed the last three, I think.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's missed the last I'm going to say dead
standard.
Heat.
Dead
Can
Heat?
I do that?
Oh, wow. It's a yes
sitting
or no.
On the
I
fence.
Don't dead heat in.
Bagman
yes no.
Sitting on the fence.
Ask me if it's going to be a dead heat, and I'll say yeah.
No, you got to pick one. Who's going to miss more games, D. Wade or D. Rose?
D-Wade. I love that
I'm
saying
D. Wade. Yeah, I'm going Wade as well.
All right.
Yeah.
Has Reggie Jackson earned a max contract now that Westbrook and Durant are out?
For like a max
just
contract
from
anywhere?
What he's been, just like as a result of his efforts over the last many games.
Well, a max contract for Reggie Jackson
wouldn't be obviously with OKC, it'd be with another team.
Yeah, but he could get, because he's, how long has he been in the league? Forever.
No, not heaps.
Really?
Yeah.
At least 5 years, Reggie Jackson.
Oh, I don't think so.
So what's the max he could get? A 15 mil yeah, a year, something?
Maybe, yeah, something like that. Probably is Chandler Parsons money.
Maybe you could get that on Milwaukee or something.
I don't
you know?
Reckon.
Like,
hey, I'm using Eric Bledsoe as my measuring stick.
Inflated yeah, salary cap, you. Though, these days. You know, it's massive.
But more than like
theoretically,
Rubio.
He could.
Yeah, you look at the guys in the last crop of point guards that didn't get max contracts. Mm. Drew Holiday, Steph Curry's in there, Ty Lawson.
Yeah, but Steph Curry's going to get paid.
He will get paid. Yeah, but he didn't get paid because he was injured and he didn't have opportunities.
But he said, does he deserve one? Has he played good enough?
No.
I don't think so.
10-ish, I reckon you'll see.
So like a Goran Dragic kind of payday?
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas-y type of...
Anyone from the Suns?
Jeff Teague-ish.
All right.
Yes, that's a great comparison.
Do you still think Hibbert is useless?
Not as useless.
He's been playing
great.
I'm
going to say no. He does look pretty good. I applaud it. Fuck Indiana. They suck.
Yeah.
All right, final yes or no. Is Dwight Howard a bad father?
I can't see him being a bad father.
He smiles too much to be a bad father.
He's a happy dude.
The courts will decide. No. We'll find out soon.
All right, let's kick back into Around the World.
No?
Is that from Ghostbusters?
No.
What is that?
It's Lisa Stansfield from the 80s.
I have no problem with it.
I thought going for like Daft Punk's too mainstream.
No, I think you're very, very right.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
All right, I want to talk about Toronto, Luke Death's team. The Raptors.
Shout out to Luke Death.
Who said to me,
be smoking
somewhere. They will finish first, and right now he's right. Toronto's number one. When's the last time Toronto's been number one in the East?
Never.
Yeah.
What are they, like 9-2 or 9-3?
Like the Blazers, I think it's another case of...
Do you want the... The standings?
Jeez, Lowry's like legit, isn't he?
Their starting five are awesome. It's pretty much the same starting five. So they're a little bit older, they're a little bit more mature, they're a little bit playing together.
They're
but I
10-2.
Yeah. But I think Lou Williams is the X factor there coming off the bench. He had 22 points today, 5-for-7 in threes. And they needed somebody to come off the bench like that to just give them more energy, someone who can do isolation scoring, you know, like a Lowry, basically. Mm. He could probably start.
But that's his destiny to do what he's doing right now.
But he's doing it perfectly.
Yeah. Like he did in Atlanta.
I still feel like they're a little undersized as a team, like when it comes to playing like the Grizz or who else has some epic bigs? Anyone?
What, in the East?
Chicago?
Chicago
will get it.
Yeah, they'll probably struggle.
If they made the
but it seems like a lot of teams that were doing good and maybe overachieving last year are still doing as good, and it's only because they've had a real upgrade in the bench area.
And continuity in the starting lineup as
Absolutely.
Well. But it's interesting because, their guard rotation, you thought there might be a bit of a quagmire there because they have DeRozan... Lowry and Ross.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you have Lou Williams and also Grievous Vasquez, who's super handy, very underrated
as
well.
They seem to be balancing it all right, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're playing these three-guard rotation things, which is cool. And Terrence Ross has been pretty good.
Terrence Ross and DeRozan can both play the three pretty well, so they can balance it quite well.
And then they've got, like, Hansbrough and Fields, who don't really play that much. But, I mean, they were all, like, second-unit guys that are now, like, third-unity, kind of second... Fully under the radar, who I've seen change games and make mega moments happen. That you know, any day they could show up and actually be a game changer.
I don't want reckon you want to be relying on Hansbrough.
No, but you don't have to because that's the third.
He can play eight minutes a game.
Yeah.
and not Absolutely. Be terrible. A handful of fouls because Patrick Patterson's playing in front of him,
and you don't want those guys playing a lot of minutes. Okay. But now that they're only playing limited minutes and. They're still passionate about the role. They're still going to come out hungry. Like, Hansbrough is still going to come out.
Backcourt is strong. I'm with you. Backcourt is good. But frontcourt, there's a few questions there. Like, they need Amir Johnson to stay healthy, right?
Yeah.
He's X factor for them. What's his name? The Euro, Valanciunas.
Yeah.
You know, he's handy. He's going to give you the same sort of stuff Noah might give you, that kind of thing. But Amir Johnson, they need to be the man.
Valanciunas doesn't have the full trust of the coaching staff.
No, not yet.
I think they sort of ride him when he's going well, and he gets yanked a lot.
Yeah, we never trust the Europeans.
Lowry has been a beast, though, just quietly the last couple
and
of
DeRozan.
Games.
And DeRozan. Isn't he been basically like, DeMar DeRozan? How many times do you hear that?
I reckon Lowry's been bigger. Yeah. He's been clutch.
Lowry will be an all-star this year.
Yeah, he's playing like an all-star, more so than DeRozan. DeRozan was an all-star last year, though.
Speaking of Toronto, did anyone see... Vince Carter cry?
Yeah. What do you guys think about all this? Because they didn't
talk to me
do
about
like
what
a,
happened. Give me a recap of exactly what happened.
So they were
the Grizzlies were playing the Toronto Raptors, and okay. they honored
in Toronto. Yeah, they honored, and they honored. They thought they'd honor Vince. Well, for what reason? Any reason in particular? It's been a while.
Like, well, he's like the highest scoring player.
He might retire this
year.
He's
the best player they've ever had.
He might retire next year.
Yeah, yeah.
But why? But the timing is
oh, right. Yeah, I'd
such.
Say so. There's only so many times he's coming back.
So he left really on bad terms. He left Toronto. It was brutal.
And then he like
he regrets
shoved it.
It
right in their face as well when he was playing for New Jersey. Came and won a few games.
Oh, he
over
used
there.
To rise to the occasion. Remember yeah, he dropped 40 on him like the next season. Like
won a game,
won it. Yeah,
on a reverse dunk.
Yeah, and then he hit that three ball from the car park. You know, yeah, but they hated him, burning jerseys and shit.
Well, maybe
you know?
It's a little coming of peace.
Yeah, and he,
well,
and he quit on the team.
Yeah,
he sort of tanked the whole season and went
yep.
to shit.
Yep, he was pretty much trying to get traded, so he's playing rubbish. And then as soon as he got to Jersey, he was like a new player, and they hated him for it. So. The argument is, you know, like water under the bridge bullshit, you know.
Yeah, but what was your initial reaction when you saw it coming?
I was
like, oh, what? They love him there?
Well, I read that they didn't, you notice they didn't raise his jersey, I don't think, or anything like that. They were just giving him a little video montage at halftime or something. And they were sort of like, you know, it was almost like, here's a little bit, but we're not going all out for you. You know, it's like a token, you know, we're happy.
But he cried.
Yeah, well, that, of course, like he's going to be... upset or, yeah, or,
stadium,
or happy about it.
Having
you know,
a town
it's cool.
of people thinking that they hate you.
Yeah.
Turn
and now
around
they kind of don't.
Yeah.
I think there's still a lot of Toronto fans who hate him.
Yeah, for sure. Like Kobe's going to get cheered in Colorado one day.
Yeah, one day. Yeah.
The retires. Yeah, all right. Well, there you have it.
Toronto.
Toronto Raptors. Let's jump around to, I guess, Rabbit. You got someone to talk about? I don't think we've talked about these guys yet all season.
Yeah, we had to come up. We have to talk about Cleveland.
Oh, God.
So, just today,
it's a very
they
emotional
lost. Speaking
topic.
Of Toronto, they
yeah,
just
tell
got
me,
smoked.
Tell me about it. I didn't see the game.
I
today.
Haven't seen the game yet, but they apparently LeBron and Kyrie were pretty awful.
Love was really bad
in the
as
fourth
well.
As well. They didn't score a field goal for the last 9 minutes yeah. of the game.
He's getting, shit. Yeah, he's getting looks. It's just John Wall was out of
yeah,
control.
John Wall was huge.
So the Wiz, so they played the Wiz.
Oh, sorry, the Wiz. My bad.
Yeah, they played the Wizards. Mm. And Paul Pierce loves playing against LeBron, but yeah, honestly, I think it was too much Wall and Love's just not touching the ball as much as he used to, and he's not hitting open jump
yeah,
shots.
Even though he's hit a bunch of threes so far this year,
yeah,
I don't love the look of it all the time. Him mm. out there,
there's like you're talking about continuity before.
They lost to Denver.
None. There's none with Cleveland at
they're
the moment.
They're in eighth place in the league. You guys had them at first.
Well, yeah, I still think they'll be first.
Yeah,
it's
no, no time
it's
to push
games.
The panic button just yet. Yeah. They're 5 and 6.
That would
six.
Make them about 12th in the West at the moment.
Yeah.
No, but they're 7th in the East, and that's all that matters, really.
Is it? Mm. Oh, I checked it today. It's at 8th.
So, like...
Fuck.
You know, they looked pretty ordinary against the Spurs the other night. Did you see that game? They lost by 2. You saw that, didn't you? Did you watch that? Oh, okay. That was a pretty good game, but you saw
it.
That they were a bit
amazing.
Exposed compared to the Spurs and the way the Spurs execute. There's just questions. There's always going to be questions all season. They got the spotlight on them. I'm worried about Waiters fitting into this offense. I mean, you know LeBron's going to do his thing. He looks very unsure, though, of when to take over, when to take shots.
LeBron's number 2 in points.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This year.
Yeah,
Kobe's in first.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens when you shoot 80 times a game.
Yeah.
Totally.
But I feel you on the Waiters thing.
Concerning.
Definitely, the thing that freaked me out about that is that he was saying he doesn't like being a catch and shoot guy.
Mm.
The times where he's looked the best this year is when he's catching and shooting.
Yeah,
and you know that'd be such an awesome like piece to add to that to their offense, and it would get Kevin Love into the block a little bit more.
Yep.
I feel like that's a better look for them. And then, you know, Waiters can break people down off the dribble if you have defenders rushing out to guard the three ball. But, you
they're,
know,
they're playing
David
him a
Blatt.
Lot with the second unit. You're seeing him and Love together when Kyrie and LeBriz sit. And he kind of seems to go after it then, like get his then when he can.
Mm.
And you almost got to wonder, is Waiters a guy who will buy into the whole, you know, like Chris Bosh, Wade sort of thing where they take a step back and go, okay, we got to do these things. Can Kyrie do that? Can Waiters do that all season? I'm not sure. I think Kyrie more kind of has to, but you know, I think Waiters, we talked about this last week, you know, Waiters could be a tradable piece that you know, they feel with sort of more of a role player there.
Do you think you were kind of putting a little bit too much pressure on him, and maybe, you know, like LeBron opening game sucked against the Spurs, turnover, crucial moment.
Mm.
Hasn't really played that amazing.
Well, he hasn't played amazing for his standards, what we're expecting. You just said he's leading second in the league.
Yeah, well, he's had a couple of 40-point games. Yeah. He was amazing against Chicago. He's turning it on when he has to.
Out of the whole of all the games, he's had like, you know, three games, half the games have been really good. And then half the games have been really weird.
Yeah, I think sort of that's by design a little bit as well.
Okay.
You saw, they basically threw a game away when LeBron was trying to prove to the team that you can't play selfishly to win. Weirdly playing too unselfishly, so they lost. So I think a lot of that is like gamesmanship and trying to figure each other out and all of that. But, you know, I think it'd be addition by subtraction with waiters because you're taking a guy who doesn't want the ball, who wants the ball a lot, and, you know, filling in with other guys that have a different mindset. I think that would go well. You just need one less person there who thinks they should get 20 a game.
Yeah, I don't know, though. The mentality of the team isn't like it was in Miami, and that's kind of unfair to compare them to Miami, but you saw the energy in Miami. You saw the guys coming off the bench
half the
who
teams
would hit.
There.
Yeah, but the guys in Miami knew how to win more. You know, you had guys like Ray Allen, Mike Miller, those guys coming off the bench.
Mike
Battier,
Miller's still there.
You know, he's
2014, Mike Miller now.
Yeah. But, you know, Battier, guys like that, where are you getting that in Cleveland? You know, you don't
nowhere.
Have any of that. So,
it's very true.
You know, and you don't win a championship with, you know, just LeBron playing well. You know, we've seen before when he was with Cleveland originally.
The thing that is all the big three are all playing well.
Yeah.
Like Kyrie's playing well. Love's playing pretty well.
Yeah.
LeBron's
but they're,
well,
you know,
they're
all getting
losing.
Theirs. They're getting their stats. But it's like that extra pass. It's like that screen. It's that rebound, you know. And it's like that, I'll skip a pass to Kyrie for a jumper. I'll get waiters involved more. You know, that kind of mentality has to come rather than go, oh, I'm chasing a triple-double or some shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So looking at it now, do you think LeBron made the right decision to leave?
Yeah. Because we're 11 games in, and they're right where they thought we'd be, where they'd be, I'm pretty sure.
Well, it's the same. Like, they go, we might be 500 for a while, whatever. We'll work it out.
I think they're going to be more concerned about the last 60 games than the first 20 games. And it'd be weird for Kyrie because
so weird.
He's never not been the man the whole time.
Same with
and
Love.
So 10 games in, fully. But even in college, he played with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
You know, Kyrie is like the options 1 and 1A. The whole time he's been playing ball pretty much.
You know who's probably been their best, most consistent player, in a sense, is Verger.
Yeah,
just I agree.
Doing, you know, what he does always.
And watch when he goes down.
Other yeah.
When he goes down, because it will happen,
yeah,
I'm
definitely.
Almost positive.
Yeah, he gets
that's
injured
when
a lot.
You're going to see what this team's really
Well, you're
going to
see Kevin Love with
Tristan
Thompson.
He hasn't been terrible either.
Yeah.
Tristan's been great.
You know, maybe it's just a whole heap of mediocrity that we're just not expecting, and it's going to come.
Coach is great.
Where did you expect him to be after 10 games?
500.
500?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And they've looked really good at times.
Yeah.
Hit 9 threes in a quarter. Like, they're going to turn it on.
We had to talk about it.
Yeah, we did.
I love it.
Let's move on. Bagman, last around the world. Who you want to talk about?
Yeah, you know how you're getting like a bit of a crush on Chicago? And I'm right there with you, by the way. I can't stop watching the Pelicans. And I feel like an idiot because I predicted at the start of the year they wouldn't make the playoffs and that Anthony Davis wasn't going to be a top five player this year because he was beating up on people at the World Cup. Who gives a shit? But
VG, are you hearing this?
Yeah.
I'm hearing it.
Okay.
That guy is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal to watch.
He's
blocking shots he has no right to block.
Dude,
and
fantasy gold.
Oh, just unstoppable.
Loving it.
Fantasy
loving
gold.
It.
It's nuts. But And they have a super interesting team. Their core five when they're playing Ryan Anderson to close games with Holiday, Eric Gordon, and Tyreke Evans is an unbelievable team, and they want for nothing skill wise. But they're all, you know, what we were saying about Kyrie just before. I think most of those guys have been like the main guy on their team, and it just doesn't.
Well, where
look
the fuck
great.
Has Eric Gordon been for the last couple of seasons? Yeah.
Injured and coming back, and Noah Sheik for the last. 8 games or something.
Yep,
so that's a massive.
But there was a time when, you know, Eric Gordon was looking like he was going to be a top 5 shooting
100%.
Guard.
Yeah,
in the game,
definitely.
Averaging 20 plus, playing he did Kobe in his prime.
Yep.
Like as well as anyone. and just fearless, all the tools.
On
and
paper, it's a great team. You know, you look at it and go, wow, but look at these. Type like of Drew Holiday, where, you know, he's an all-star at times. He's got to get back to all-star level.
It's like, they're like kind of like the Blazers last year, though. Like you're saying, no bench.
No bench.
Yeah.
So Luke maybe Babbitt. If they can keep it together this year and then get some better pieces next year.
There's been
year.
An Austin Rivers sighting.
He's hasn't there?
Started been playing good the last few games. You know, he's coming off the bench.
Totally.
Yeah, definitely.
And a fan of white socks. Love spandex and white socks.
But
so
I think in the wake of the Oklahoma City tragedy, the basketball version or the bombing version, I think they're the eighth team in the West. Because they would love a new coach. I think Monty Williams has sucked from the get-go.
Yep.
And they're not really playing to each other's strengths. You need someone who can just manage the personalities and just get them playing together instead of trying to run freaky shit. Ashik's been awesome. And, you know, 2 years from now, I think they're going to be right in the picture if they can
keep
it together.
So you're saying Anthony Davis is going to stay?
I think he'll stay past it. No one ever goes on their first big extension. Yeah. You know, they always stick around. K-Love did it. Pretty much everyone stays.
Bird rights, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes tons of sense. And yeah, so I think he'll stay. He's trying to build something there.
They did lose today to Denver by 20.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, but you know,
so did Cleveland.
They've had a lot of games.
Yeah, totally.
What the fuck's up with Denver as
They're coming back.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
they were awful for the
McGee's back. Gallinari's back.
Gallinari looks like a fucking ghost of himself, you know, his former self. But I hope he gets better.
That's what Marco said as
well. Well, they might blow up the team, though. That's the other thing. It's going to get to a point where they kind of got tradable assets. You know, is Gallinari worth anything? Is Ty Lawson worth anything? You know, he's got a big contract now, though. So
the Lakers could use him, maybe.
Yeah, fucking A.
A lot of people could use a lot of pieces. So Aflalo's on a pretty decent deal.
Yeah, and they'll just keep...
someone will pay McGee. They will, though. They fucking will.
Oh, I don't know, man. I think that's the last time McGee gets paid. He's on a lot of money right now.
Yeah.
He can't do that.
What's his contract? How long is it? Do you know?
He's like $10 million a season. He got a 5-year extension.
Just recently?
Last
season?
The season before that. So I think
he's
probably got
a
player
option left at $10 million. Someone will take that. $10 million.
Who could use McGee?
Well, someone will think that they can coach him, rescue him, turn him into an all-star or some shit.
If Phil wasn't at the Knicks, they would have taken him by now,
maybe.
I reckon.
Maybe.
All right, let's do one more hypothetical, and then we'll go into random shit.
Can I do it again? I've got another good one. This is a personal one for me.
All right.
Would you rather, for a whole year, have D. Wade style you or Russell Westbrook style you?
Oh, D. Wade. Are you kidding?
Really?
Yeah, I think D-Wade's got way better fashion than Russell Westbrook.
See, this is the argument with fashion, though.
Sleeveless, weird. Mm. Oh, dude, no.
Yeah, but more people give Russell Westbrook cred than they do D-Wade for fashion.
Yeah, because he's not Dwayne Wade. He's not big of a tool.
That's not it. I thought it's because, isn't Westbrook do his own fashion, but Wade outsources it to have someone dress him?
Oh, I think Russell will have a stylist. He just have a fucking
he does.
Crazy,
I thought
queer,
it's just all him. Like he's just...
Oh, they all choose what they wear. It's just like, what do you reckon?
Oh,
you
dude. Know, yeah. Some of those photos you sent me of Westbrook, those are some of the worst.
You know what they'll just say, though?
Basketball.
You just don't get it, bro. It's high fashion.
You
don't get it.
He's got his own line of sunglasses.
Yeah. I don't want to get it is kind of where it's at. I'm not going to sit there and wear, you know, baggy jeans and a t-shirt and go, I don't get it. It's dumb. But like...
You are, though. That's what you're saying right now.
No.
And you're wearing baggy jeans, aren't you?
No, I'm wearing your shorts.
He's getting those vulnerable calves out.
Yeah.
You're tearing at the very fiber of everything I hate. Because I hate D-Wade as a person.
Yep.
But I hate Russell Westbrook as a fashion icon. So it's really difficult to
but
choose.
Would you argue that...
Can I just hang myself? Is
that's always an option. You just said fashion icon, you know, so... And to a lot of people, he is a fashion icon. A lot of people would go, Westbrook has
anyone ever
fashion
done?
Sense. Great
because
fashion
he,
sense.
Because he fucking who? Rams it down your throat. You have no choice but to realize that he wears freaky shit.
Well,
because
he starts a
isn't that what fashion is, though? Isn't that what high fashion is?
Oh, yeah. You tell me, bro.
You're the one who owns... You're the man with the nose.
Yeah,
shit.
That's why I'm trying
what do you
to
think?
To
what's
you.
The answer?
I'd go with Russell Westbrook.
So you think his fashion's better?
It's a hypothetical.
I don't believe that. I could see you wearing shit that Wade wears, but I would never see you wearing shit that Westbrook wears.
Totally.
Not once. Not fucking once.
Yeah, but if I'm in the NBA and I have the choice from D-Wade's
you wouldn't
Wade
wear
style,
a pair of fucking empty glasses ever?
I wouldn't. That's true.
No.
What about the shirt that's like fishing lures? Would you bust that out?
Well, no. I think I'm in a different headspace when I'm in the NBA. That's all. And if I want to like raise my brand profile and be like a bit of a, you know, bit of an icon,
bit
why not?
Fuckwit.
Well, everyone wears like a nice fucking Versace suit or some shit, you know? D Wade's a great father. He's a fucking well, good dresser. Blah blah blah.
You're letting
boring.
Your hatred of Wade boring. Cloud your judgment.
Possibly.
See, like, just acknowledge that
possibly.
You hate him.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You just rock around in your fucking weird vests and shit and go, at least I don't look like D Wade. Yeah. That's the benefit of it.
Was that bad?
No. I changed my vote.
So the answer is?
I don't know what the answer is.
Westbrook's got better fashion.
It's a horrible question.
High fashion.
Just high wear fashion. Your uniform and...
Fucking 22-year-old fashion is what it is.
So you didn't like that hypothetical?
I loved it.
Loved it.
That was great.
Best one.
Have you got any more?
Do you want one more?
Yeah.
So you'd bust that out. You'd be like, yep, I'm going to go into an NBA meeting with red glasses with no lens and little snowboarders on my t-shirt.
That is exactly the
question. My grandma made me that shirt. Oh.
It's pretty edgy.
All right.
Here's another one. One more, just for the hell of it.
Okay.
Yep.
Would you rather have the hottest wife in the NBA but the lowest salary or the highest salary?
Who is JJ Barea?
With the ugliest wife.
Highest salary.
Yeah.
Highest salary with the ugliest wife.
None of those guys
are loyal. You have to rock up to like games with this ugly wife. You have to rock up to fashion.
No,
can I to
the wives sit
fundraiser
in the
things.
Can I de-weight it and just like dump her and fuck an actress?
You can do whatever the fuck you want if
then
you're
going to pay
that much.
Taking my money.
Money.
I'm just thinking the money. The hookers. Yeah, you can do whatever.
Yeah.
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 But if you don't have much money to spend on hookers, you've got the hottest wife in the NBA. The hottest wife in the NBA is going to be like, I don't know.
She's probably getting
so you got, basically, you're dating Kate Upton.
Yeah, the hottest wife in the NBA is probably getting passed around your team.
Heavy,
so
maybe.
You'd argue
the ugliest wife is getting passed around.
Is the ugly one nice? Or is she
nice? Oh, you want
to
know?
She'd have to have a great personality. Yeah.
Do I get along with her parents?
Well, we're married.
What's
definitely.
The relationship with her father?
It's fucking rock solid. You have three kids. It's great.
I'm going there.
Fucking great.
That sounds
she
great.
Blows you every night. No questions asked.
That's impossible, but yeah. Sounds great.
Well, it's not because she's so ugly, she has to. So yeah.
Because she's so ugly, she has to.
Yeah, I'm
so it's because she likes it. She says she tells you
whatever,
she likes it.
Whatever.
No. Don't go down on me. I like it.
Yep.
I like to do it.
Yep. I'm not eating all this celery for nothing.
Okay, I'll up it. So the hottest wife only sucks your dick once a year.
No, I want money. I've established money is more important than looks straight away.
I'm getting
away.
Multiple blowies a year.
Like they
no
say,
matter what.
You know, if
from
you're,
who?
Anyone.
Hookers.
Yeah.
If you're a good-looking guy and you meet a chick in the
bar. Maybe Rondo, you know, like whoever's giving them out.
If you're a good-looking guy, you meet a girl in the bar.
Sure.
She just sleeps with you.
Yep.
Only because you're good-looking.
Right.
I'm a rich guy and I'm in a bar. A good-looking girl sleeps with me. She's only sleeping with me because of money.
Yeah.
Why is the fact that girls slept with you because of your looks, because you're good-looking, more important than she slept with me just because I have money?
But the question is, though, you're, you know, in this loose sense, you're being honorable that you aren't going to fuck around or anything with anyone else. You've got an ugly wife, but you got heaps of money, and you know, theoretically, you're not going to fuck anyone else.
I still want the money.
Yeah, I'll take the money.
Yeah.
Because then you can just have as much random stuff and be miserable later.
Yeah. I think you need
to go
ask
to some sort
somebody,
of high-class virtual reality porn.
You're
going to
ask more
you
of vain.
It, you know?
Just I think you'll get a different answer.
Like, visual fucking, you know, Kate Upton, like you said. That could happen.
Totally.
Just rent
I reckon
Kate
it
Upton.
Depends on the person you ask, though. If you ask, like Sam or something, he's a very...
vacuous.
He's a very outer. He cares about the outer a lot.
Yeah.
So I think maybe people that are more concerned with their own looks might choose something different.
I think
you also have to wonder about the morality of black guys, you know, in the NBA, because they all get married when they're like fucking 17. You know,
no, they
so
all have baby mamas
chick.
By the time they're 17.
Well,
they
whatever.
Never get married.
They're very moral. Well, not really.
I guess you got to think you're in the public eye as well. If you have the ugliest wife in the NBA, and everyone is like, oh, I'm just going to go on my Twitter and be like, man, your wife's fucking
so
rank.
Ugly.
And you're like, you could be getting so much like rogue puss. It would probably get to you after a while, unless she was like really nice.
Kobe's probably the highest paid player in the NBA right now, give or take. I don't think his wife's that old.
No,
she's not awful, though. He's hotter than Carmelo's wife, I reckon.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I reckon if you saw Carmelo's wife in person, you'd just be looking at her tits the whole time. You wouldn't even know what her face looked like in the whole conversation.
Yeah, but you can pay for tits.
But
the ugly
wife. See Dwayne,
I'm sure she did, but like...
You saw Dwayne Wade's first wife, right?
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
And that, there's your answer, case in point right there. He was like, I'm upgrading.
It's probably going to happen.
Yeah. Carmelo put a photo up of his wife on the off season, and she was like in a little thing.
Mm. Her name's Lala Vasquez.
Why are you searching for it? This is a podcast. They can't see it. We can't. Google Carmelo's wife right now.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. But I'm telling you, like, you know, like, whatever. Like, who cares? Well, be happy.
That could be any Latino. Where's the... like, it just says Lala photos. But what,
it's her. That's her.
Anyway,
that's her.
We've spent too long on this.
You're wearing... I mean, like, I'd be pleasantly surprised every morning. Like,
she's dense, isn't she, through the midsection?
Yeah.
Oh. Didn't even look.
Get your standards up there. It's the NBA. You don't have to settle.
She's lovely. Settling. Anyway. She cooks a mean apple pie.
Well, that was good. Let's go into
some. Let's go into some random shit. Okay.
Random shit.
Just quickly. Did we already talk about the Kobe?
No,
we didn't. No, we've been saving it.
Do you
want
to talk about this?
Fuck yeah.
Go crazy. Do your thing.
You tell me about what happened.
No, you started like you were going to start it. Baxter
Holmes
work it in.
Had a tweet said, I asked Kobe about his many shots.
No, give the context of it.
I don't know it.
He took 34 shots in three quarters or something and 16 free throws. Yeah.
And since then, he's now been announced as he's missed more shots than any player in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He has played 18 years and is about to pass Jordan at the end of this year. As
Which will make him third all time.
Yeah, middle of the year. Mm.
So, and then Baxter Holmes tweeted, I asked Kobe about his many shots. Kobe replied, I'd rather not have to do that, but you can't just sit back and watch crime happen in front of you.
Such a Kobe thing to say.
Just really raising the morale of the team when they were like 1-10 at the time.
Well, the question is, how long do you reckon it is before Kobe like blows up, snaps, you know, has a massive tanty?
I think he's only focusing this year on beating that scoring record.
Okay.
Yeah, there's precedent. 2005, it was just as grim.
Conspiracy theory.
And he just went and scored 35 a game and they didn't...
Can we say this is the worst ever Lakers team?
It's the worst ever start.
It's the worst I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Kobe's position, though. I'm getting paid $27 million this year, $24 this year, $27 next year. I'm about to get all these milestones. You know, it's a twilight of my career. Probably not going to contest for another title now.
Do you think he believes that, though?
I think so. I think he's got to be coming around to it. He's got to be a realist.
But he's getting $22 million and $24 million.
Just the rhetoric.
37?
Years of age.
Yeah, how old is he?
Yeah, he's 37.
I think.
Just the rhetoric coming out of the Lakers is like, we're a playoff team. And from
they've never not been. It's a cultural thing there.
But I believe that they believe that.
I think they're realists.
Even when they have like one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA and they're like interviewing Kobe, like, what do you think your strong points are? He's like, defense.
No, he thinks he's a good defender. Kobe thinks he's still a good defender. He's not. He hasn't been for several years.
I think the culture of the Lakers is you have to say that or, you know, you can't not. You can't, even though everyone's probably thinking you're a realist and, you know, like this is a situation, you're in LA. You missed the playoffs like three times ever or something.
You get that vibe when they talk about Howard and how his attitude was and all that kind of stuff.
He didn't have the DNA.
Nothing has to do with how many blocks he got or how many assists or anything statistical. It's always about his attitude and how he carried
himself. In terms of Kobe, like, you know, so he's getting paid that. He's, you know, he's doing his thing. He's also working. He's got Kobe Inc., which is like a huge business venture for him. Have you heard about it? And he's working on films and that kind of thing, but not just like the Nash Docker or anything. This is like he's doing proper films in terms of like arty shit, and he wants to make some really intense sort of feature films and shit. Mm. So he's working on that a lot. Apparently, he goes to training. After training, he's down in his offices in LA, and he's working pretty hard on that. So,
but is that just because
I feel like he sort of knows he's fading out a little bit. He's like a swan song, and he's just going to keep shooting, getting his, and fade out slowly. But I don't think he's resigned to the fact that he's not going to make the playoffs again. That's what I was thinking.
We're going to now lead into the segment of conspiracy theory because it talks about this. So Nash is not playing this season, but not only is he not playing, he's not with the team. He's not around the team. He's completely away.
Right.
The purpose, and then I think the coach tried to give him a call recently, and it didn't happen. And he recently Facebooked himself, you know, doing the golfing thing and climbing. And then he had this huge Facebook post about,
yeah, I read it. Yeah.
You know, I can't
just emojis
fucking
everywhere.
Guard Kyrie Irving and Stephon Curry anymore.
Sure.
But did the Lake? Here's the conspiracy theory.
This is your conspiracy theory.
They sat down with Kobe and said, Kobe, all you're going to do is continue being the best scorer and put all the shots up and get 20, 30 points a game. You're going to beat Jordan's record this year. You're going to be the third highest scorer. But we're tanking. We're going to get last place. Steve Nash, you're going to not even play. We're just going to take that off the books. We're going to get this a shit coach. Sign him up.
Yep.
Because wasn't Mike Brown was fired by now, wasn't he?
10 games in, maybe. Maybe a bit longer.
Meanwhile,
so this
the
is
Lakers
all true,
get, and meanwhile,
just quietly so far.
Meanwhile, the Lakers conspiracy. Get draft picks, and they still sell tickets to the game because Kobe's a draw card.
Yep, okay.
Is that what happened? By saying that, I'm saying Nash isn't really injured. Oh. And maybe by the end of this season he'll go play for another team.
How is it more beneficial for them to lose if Nash is out there or not? Is he better than Jeremy Lin at 40 years old? No.
I don't know.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
He can't stay in front of anyone, you know, like, you're like, oh, we're gonna plug 40-year-old Steve Nash in and we're gonna make the playoffs.
But what's the end game here? What was the conspiracy? Why are they doing all this if it was a
just
conspiracy?
To get draft picks and rebuild.
Oh.
But Kobe is okay with it because he gets to get that scoring title and still, well, like I say, you look on the thing, he's still number one shooter.
Here's my caveat, right?
Okay, go.
First, they get a top five draft pick if they can stay within the top five draft
worst
picks.
Teams, yeah.
Right, yeah. So,
which they're in last place.
Which is
right
beneficial
now.
For sure. A, Kobe isn't going to sign up to lose games because I think he understands as well as everyone. He's going to pass Jordan in scoring anyway, whether he's coming off the bench and playing 15 minutes a game for any team.
Yep.
He's passing Jordan. He's not that far behind. That's locked in. Yep. That doesn't matter.
Yep.
The other thing is, it's hollow. You know, no one's going to look back and go, oh, yeah, you know, Kobe, and he had this awesome end to his career. He averaged 28 that season, and they came dead last, and it was a fucking joke.
Mm.
That's not going to help him. That's not going to help him. I don't think he wants to go out like that.
But I don't think he can do anything about it.
Well, yeah, there's nothing out there.
Because the thing is, he thinks that he can be the best player on a playoff team. Any playoff team.
Yeah, maybe.
He's looking around at the group of guys and going, we can make the playoffs. That's what I believe.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, and so the head office, by all means, I think are going, yeah, fuck yeah, Kobe, of course. We're going to give you Carlos Boozer, Jeremy Lin. These guys are, you know, they're veterans. Take them to the playoffs. And he's going, yeah, I'll fucking take them to the playoffs.
Well, if you need to feed Kobe's ego in that sense, if they think they need to do that just to keep selling tickets or something, maybe. But I think it is what it is. I don't think there's any conspiracy.
So you don't think they've purposely got a bad coach?
The coach is very weird because, you know, they made a worse hire by hiring D'Antoni over Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Byron Scott, he had one good season in Cleveland. And then he's just been pretty awful the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And there's this, but there's the whole Lakers brotherhood in there, you know. Yeah. He's a Laker lifer.
Yeah.
He's in there for good, and him and Kobe have a good relationship. They even played together, I think, right at the very beginning of Kobe's career. So they think that Kobe will respect him for some reason, and that's going to make things seamless. But, you know, if they wanted to win games, I think you're right. They should have hired a different coach.
Well, there's my conspiracy theory.
Okay.
I thought you'd like this segment. I was thinking basically, you know, off the record, you know, we'll try and come up with different little bullshit. So it's a different offshoot to hypothetical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hypothetical's like very fantasy-based, but this is more taking something that couldn't happen and going...
Well, you get into the thing
a back
of like,
end reason
you know,
for
you get into the thing, is a conspiracy, is a team tanking a conspiracy? You know, is it not? You know,
well,
I mean, like,
the 76ers are pretty upfront about it, so that's a little bit different.
It's awful.
But, like, the Lakers can't really be seen tanking. It's not in their culture, like you were saying.
Sure.
Boston Celtics can't tank, even though they are.
Yeah. Mm. Zach Lowe wrote a huge piece on it saying, are they doing a stealth tank and trying to pull the wool over everyone's eyes about it? And it's basically what we covered, that everyone outside the organization thinks that that's the case.
Yeah.
And everyone inside the organization is sort of denying it, so...
Which is funny because
the question
they're 1-8. You'd think you'd be like, yeah, we're tanking. so I don't get fucking fired.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's
like,
it's
you
a very
be like, no, we've been trying really hard. We thought we made great choices, and all these players are fantastic. We're doing the best we can here.
The NBA is weird like that, though. You can't really admit to tanking. It's never really, like, encouraged to admit you're tanking, but basically it's, you know, in your best interest to do it in certain cases. So you're like, well, I'm not trying to do it really, you know, to everyone. We don't want to lose, but we kind of do want to lose.
But, just on that as well, you know, Isaiah Thomas for the Suns, Isaiah Thomas was like, I wanted to play for the Lakers. I'm a free agent. You know, I'm waiting for him. And, you know, my agent's calling them saying, you know, Isaiah, he's keen. And they're like, oh, we're waiting on Melo. We're waiting on LeBron.
That was last in the offseason.
Yeah. And they have these, you know, that thinking that we don't want Isaiah Thomas and a couple of other guys that can help us make the playoffs. We'll be an 8 seed. And, you know, they're not going to go the Daryl Morey thing where they try and gather up these little pieces and then get a superstar. They're going to get on the phone and try and get Dwight Howard, you know, or they're going to try and get Melo in free agency. And I think that's, they don't want to plateau out.
It's weird though, because LA have always been like a team who make moves and get the big signings. You know, they get big guys. They don't do like little things like that. You know, they just go bang, we're going after this. But they've never sort of wallowed in this sort of mediocrity for very long.
No.
So it's kind of strange now.
Do you think they're maybe not as powerful as they were when Kobe was young?
I still think the culture's there where people are like, I want to play for the Lakers. Fuck yeah, I want to play for the Lakers. They're only removed a couple of seasons from winning 2 in a row, remember?
Yeah.
5 years ago?
I think you probably see like a 2008 Celtics thing maybe happen in 2 years' time when there's no one there.
And they still have that aura where they can bring people there.
Yeah.
Hey man, we're bringing fucking Durant. No, they're not.
Yeah, we're bringing Westbrook.
We're getting
and
all these guys,
yeah,
like, you know, jump on board. They can pull that better than like fucking Orlando can, you know?
Yeah. You're going to get a guy who wants to be the man in a team and go, you can be the man of the Lakers.
And
like,
you, when you take out like the whole basketball thing for a second and go, it's fucking LA. You know, this is you're a star, you know, if you're playing for the Lakers in LA.
Yeah.
And then you don't get that in fucking Minnesota, you know?
No.
All right. Well, that's about it for this week's podcast. We'll be back next week with more things.
Please subscribe on iTunes.
If you made it all the
get
way.
Get us up the rankings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And hit our Facebook and Twitter pages, FCP Podcast, please.
Fantastic. We'll see you next week.